All right, well, survive the eclipse. Bit of a letdown, wasn't it?
No, not really. Oh, anybody that can sit in a room with you while that's going on should get a medal.
I've seen that.
That was me.
That's like the third That's the third one I've seen. It's always a letdown. I can't believe they get it. It's always a letdown.
Why did I want to take a pencil and stick it in my neck for her while I was in the room with that going on? What's the big deal? You can look at it. It's like just enjoy something that you don't see often. That's all.
I've seen it three times. It's not that big a deal. It's just not. If it just stayed in front of the sun for like an hour, then that would be a big deal. Then we could talk about it.
Yeah, you've seen that three times?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, man.
It's not that big a deal.
Wow.
I'm just saying it. Anyhow. You know, it is a big deal, Kevin
what's
Barker.
That? Home
the
opener.
Home opener is a big deal.
They're trying to make it a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, it is. They are trying.
Blue Jays home opener today, tonight at the Rogers Center. 7:07 first pitch. Luis Castillo against Jose Berrios. Of course, that game will be on Sportsnet 590. The Fan and Sportsnet. Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Blue Jays, will join us. There are two stories today. One, of course, is the Jays coming off a 4-6 road trip looking to...
We were both wrong.
Yeah, we were. Coming off a 4-6 road trip, looking to, lay down a marker early at home. And, of course, the other story will be the refurbished Rogers Center as well. So Mark joins us. We'll have all sorts of people joining us as well from the Rogers Center. 4-6. I said 5-5 would be good. Kevin said 6-4 was the bare minimum. Where do you want to start? I guess we have to start. With the offense. We have to start with the offense.
I'm going to throw my hand in and say that neither side was good. The pitching hasn't been real good, and obviously the offense hasn't done a ton either. So it's like you have a clean slate. You've come home now. You sort of catching your breath. I mean, you've moved into wherever you're living. You know, hopefully you sort of feel better when it comes to that. Maybe you can get in a routine of going to the same place all the time and working on the same thing over and over again. Maybe that, it's like Groundhog Day. A lot of baseball routines are like Groundhog Day. It's the same thing over and over and over again. The next 9 days, maybe they can get in a groove and sort of do that and consistently do what they're supposed to do, right? Throwing strike one, being efficient with two strikes, which they haven't been real good at. Maybe they can get better at that. You know, hitting a baseball hard in the big part of the field. Maybe they can try and do a little bit better at that. So maybe they can just wipe the 4-6 away. I mean, some would say they got lucky being 4-6. Maybe you could argue that. I'm on the flip side of, you try and take as many positives as you possibly can, at least early in the season. And hopefully as an individual, this for me is not a team thing. This is very individual. Vladdy's working on something different than Davis Schneider is. So it's very individual. You get in a room, you figure it out individually, and hopefully when you walk between the lines, you can give it the old college try, and it's working out, and it's going where you want it to go. So fingers crossed that happens.
Yeah, the thing I would say about the road trip, and the Jays did end up losing 2 of 3 in the Bronx, including 8-3 yesterday. The issues I saw with the pitching will get straightened out. Kevin Gausman has had starts like that in the past in cold weather.
Hey, I don't like cold.
Chris Bassett is building up. Put it this way. Nothing I saw out of the starting pitchers surprised.
Except the whoever's pitching in the five slot, a revolving door.
Okay, well, I was going to. But, yeah, again. That
could be.
Newsflash. Bowden Francis may not be the answer in the fifth spot.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise.
I don't think so either.
It's not a surprise.
No.
Good if he is, but we saw yesterday the same thing you talked about. Once you get around 45 pitches, 50 pitches, the effectiveness starts to go. If there are any sort of green shoots out of this, if you want to call it that, it's the fact that we started to see some life from Vladdy and Bo on Saturday and Sunday, although... we were laughing about this. The Jays lost 9-8 on Saturday, and you're going 8 runs. That's pretty good. They were still only 4-17 with runners in scoring position. So there's still some issues, obviously with approach. But Vladdy ended an 0-for-11. He got a solo home run. Bo ended an 0-for-13. He had a couple of hits. Now, we'll wait and see whether or not – I have not seen the lineup yet. We'll see whether or not Bo's in the lineup today. He was hit yesterday by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball and did have ice on
he
his –
He is in the lineup hitting
third. He is in the lineup, so there you go. He is in the lineup hitting third today. So forget that I mentioned the fact that he was hit by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. So there was – there were some signs that the offense was coming around. But this is – See, this is what I'm going to be interested in with this homestand. First of all, they've played three pretty good teams, but let's not lie. They did not run into the creme de la creme of American League pitching in those series. They didn't. Framber Valdez is fine. They ran into a bunch of guys you should be able to beat. Mm. Now they get Luis Castillo. Hasn't been very good so far, but it's early. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert. There are going to be very few series the Jays are going to play this year where they're going to run into three starters that good.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing how they perform against those three starters and whether or not this team can turn around the issues it had at home last year. We talked to Bo Bichette about this in the offseason, and he said the home field got in their heads last year. It got in the heads of some players last year. The Jays weren't a good offensive team at home last year. I'll say it. Frankly, they were boring last year. They were a boring team to watch at home.
Well said.
There was not a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So, and the Rogers Center has always kind of had that home advantage feel to it. I will be intrigued to see if this team can start to turn that around.
Yeah, it's odd that they got a bunch of guys who tried too hard. The lineup's been around too long.
Again, it's an older team. You're right.
You notice Bo's at bats. You notice Vladdy's at bats. You notice Dalton Varsho's at bats. You notice Alejandro Kirk's at bats. You notice Kevin Kiermaier's at bats. It's been around too long to go up there and look like they're trying to make up for everybody else's problems. Like, that's what, you know, a lot of the times when you come out and sort of be direct with one approach, right? Swing at something you can do damage on. Well, if I'm a hitter and I hear that, does that sound like you want me to try and hit homers? Jeff, like that's the thing, right? And
interestingly,
you have to sort of try and not do that and go up and be yourself. That's not always the easiest thing to do.
Interestingly enough, Don Mattingly, who is the offensive coordinator, and I've said all along, if only this team had a quarterback to go along with their offensive coordinator.
They got a lot of coaches.
Don Mattingly
a lot of coaches.
Is the Blue Jays offensive coordinator, and he was asked this weekend, did a fairly lengthy interview about the team's offense. And there were a couple of clips in particular that got our attention. So, Derek, if you can play, this is Don Mattingly from over the weekend talking, one, about the consistency or lack thereof of the team's offense, and two, well, I'm going to let Don Mattingly talk about it.
It was good. I think last night is really probably more what we're looking for as far as kind of up and down the order, guys just continuing to fight no matter what the score was last night. We kind of seem to be keep getting guys out there, giving ourselves chances. And really that's what we're looking for as much as we can.
That was Don Mattingly. He talked earlier about the offense being wavy was his word.
I agree 100%, but why would you have to tell a lineup that's talented this over and over and over again every single day? It's very odd that you have to say the same message the same people every single day.
Talented lineup?
At least the GM's been telling us that.
Well, a talented lineup, but Don Mattingly also talked about whether or not he talked about, and I think we need to adjust how we look at this team. This was Don Mattingly talking about what to expect from the Blue Jays lineup this year.
I think damage is a kind of a scary word because when you're trying to hit home runs, they usually don't happen. I think for us, it's you want to get your best swing off, make sure you're working in your zones, trying to get your best swing off in those areas. To me, it would mean, you know, we don't necessarily want to be trying to hit everything on the edges early in the counts, let this guy make a mistake, but be willing to let it go when we get balls in our area. So I think for us, it's really just getting balls that you can hit hard and hopefully within that there's some home runs. I don't really see us as a huge power club, but we do have the chance, I think, you know, four or five guys hitting 20 or above, and that would be be good for us.
With timing, there have been some times where your guys have worked the count, got the pitch, and they're just fouling them off. Is that just a matter of getting more bats and more repetition?
Well, you hope, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're looking for. If we can get guys to get in good counts and get good pitches to hit, you feel like you have the talent that we're going to hit those pitches, right? And maybe it's early, whatever it is, if the guy's just a little off that day or whatever. But more than anything, it's just continuing to work to get good pitches to hit and trusting our guys' talent that it's going to come through.
John, you mentioned the approach kind of coming in and out. Do you think there's any connection there to some different processes, different information coming this year, and guys maybe adjusting to how the information, the type of information is being transmitted to them this year compared to a year ago?
I don't think so, really. I think it's pretty much the same. We're a pretty versatile, I think, hitting group in there. Hunter and Matt are really good with, looking at all the numbers and, count-specific stuff, certain types of fastballs and things like that. So more than anything, we want to simplify. It still gets down to, getting balls in your area and knowing what you want to do with those when you get them. I don't think we're a whole lot different. We just want to make sure we simplify. Nothing's really changed from what we talked in spring. We want guys to work in there, try to get balls in their areas where they handle pitches the best, work to get to those pitches, and then be able to, put ourselves in a good position to hit them. So nothing's really changed. We just haven't been. For me, we've just been waiting. We see good games. We score 8 and 9 in Tampa. Then we get 1 and 2. We don't really score in Houston. They kind of shut us down. Here, the first couple of days have been pretty good games.
Yeah. Numbers wise.
Okay, that was Don Mattingly being interviewed this weekend. It was interesting because it's really the first sort of lengthy interview we've heard from Don Mattingly. And Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, they've gone out of their way to talk about the impact they expect Don Mattingly to have in his new role. He was the bench coach last year. And Kevin, to me, the takeaway is I'm sure there are Jays fans, if they're driving to the game right now, probably maybe driving off the Gardner, hearing him say that we're not necessarily a power club, because I think Jays fans still close their eyes and have memories of Jose Bautista and Edwin and all those mm-hmm. home runs. But Don's right, and he actually said this. He said this last year, and to people, and for whatever reason, nobody really tweaked onto it. I think we may have to just look at this team and say, you know what? This is a team that's, to be successful, is going to have to pitch well. It's going to have to play good defense, and it's going to be kind of a blue-collar offense. They're probably not going to go out and bludgeon everybody every night. I don't know how comfortable I am with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I trust this lineup to do that.
Well, you have to string together hits, which is not the easiest thing to do.
Well, thank you.
It's very hard to do that.
That is...
Pitching's never been better.
Exactly. It is very...
Yeah.
We talked to Alex Anthopoulos last year about the postseason, and he said, you know what you need to be successful in the postseason? Power pitching and power hitting. You don't string hits together. And that's kind of the way the game is now. You don't. Yeah. I don't think you can live and die stringing hits together.
They're one of only three teams without a homer with a runner in scoring position.
Kevin, well...
That's sort of what you were seeing last year.
Yeah.
And to Donnie Baseball's point there is, again, if I'm a hitter and I'm listening to him speak about the way he would like us to look 1 through 9 of an order, I can buy into that. I mean, soft-spoken, he's easy to listen to. He's not going to overwhelm you with a bunch of information. But then there's the other guys that are hitting coaches on this team, and how are they translating to the messages, right? It's counts. I don't want to know counts. I want to know what I do well before I get to 2 strikes, and I want to know what a dude throws me if I'm a right-handed or a left-handed hitter. Like, that's all I want to know. That's what you call simplifying it. And is it that? I mean, the people that I talk to around the team that are trying to hit every single day, there's some you know, all over the place stuff when it comes to the information that they are being given. And I've told you this a bazillion times. It's very hard at the big league level for a bunch of guys to say no to a bunch of different guys that are trying to give you all kinds of different information. And then when they walk to the plate, and this is why I said this, I was watching the games over the weekend just like everybody else, and it looked to me like a bunch of dudes trying to do too much instead of just going up and saying, if I'm a guy that will slap a line drive the other way, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah. I ain't looking to do damage. Damage is a different kind of word. And I just – consistently, I'm just not sure if they're good enough 1 through 9 to string together a bunch of hits, because that's what it is. Trying to overcome the lack of power is hard to do because of how much these guys are throwing secondary stuff and fastball counts and how hard they throw. It's not the easiest thing to do. And why do you think John comes on this show and says that 1 through 4 is so important? And why do you think Ross is yelling and screaming about the core? Because they don't think those two guys, that the lineup as a whole, can string together 4 or 5 hits an inning. They need the first 4 guys to bloop and bomb people to death. Have they been doing it? Vladdy's 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Got 1 RBI. So it's not like, you know, they're getting it done that way. But I just, how's it get better? And what if somebody hits a line drive to right that they think it should go out at home and it doesn't?
The Jays know what to do. Are 28th in baseball, hitting .197 with runners in scoring position. They're 23rd in weighted on base average. Their slug, and we heard in spring training about how important slug was, and
slug is important. Yeah.
They're 26th in baseball at .327. And if you want to look at an old school stat, their team batting average is .193. That is second worst ahead of the Minnesota Twins.
Scoring 3.5 runs a game, too. That's why the pitching stats go way up, right? Why the pitchers are getting hammered in certain situations. You know, they're not – the exit velocities have went way down offensively. The hard hit percentages have went way down for the Blue Jays.
And again,
as a whole.
Not,
I mean, it's 10 games.
I hate to say it.
10 games.
They have not –
June of last year.
They have not faced a parade of Cy Young candidate. I mean, I'm sorry. One thing I will not buy –
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that 100%.
Okay, really?
Yeah, because one
Clark
guy –
Schmidt scares
one, yeah, because he throws off-speed stuff that dudes can't hit off-speed stuff. Like, yeah, it's to each his own. That guy may be nasty and somebody else is not.
What, tell you what. If,
just because he can't hit a changeup or an elevated fastball or a sinker in.
If you think the Jays are overmatched by Clark Schmidt, we might as well just shut the season down. Shut the season down. If they can't handle Clark Schmidt, shut the season down.
Clark Schmidt is a big league pitcher.
Well, yeah. Well, everybody in the majors is a big league pitcher.
I mean, he's not Luis Castillo. But he's a big league pitcher who can add and subtract and occasionally pitch those guys' weakness.
All right, so we basically there's no chance this year. I mean,
that's your words.
I mean, Zach Eflin's going to dominate them.
Yeah, Zach Eflin's pretty good. He had a really good season last year. Absolutely,
absolutely.
Well, you don't give your expectations for good pitching is because nowadays it's about how you throw them. It's not always about how good you are on the mound. It's about the khakis telling you that this team cannot hit this if you throw it this amount of times to the big part of the order or to the bottom part of the order. And it's up to that lineup to make the adjustment.
Yeah, but that's
so a tough pitcher is to each his own.
No, but my point is you should be able to make an adjustment against Ronel Blanco. You should be able to make adjustments against Clark Schmidt.
Blanco's pretty good against Texas,
too. You should be able to make adjustments against Luis Hill. Like, come on. You didn't get the Yankees' best pitcher.
Luis Hill
throws hard.
Their
two best.
So how do they do against velocity? The way the lineup is made up, right?
I'll tell you what, man. If you think that 10 game span that they ran into a buzzsaw of starting pitching, good luck. If that's a buzzsaw to this lineup, good luck.
You're looking for the Luis Castillos every single time they go between the lines. It just doesn't work that way. But because of the way they're being asked to throw to certain parts of the lineup, they're getting your best as long as you can get it. Mm. Okay? Like if they can't hit a slider, they're getting 75 of them.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. All right. I'm half agreeing with you and half disagreeing with you.
All right.
And now it's up to the Jays. It's just, can they take a step back and stop trying so hard? Do you think they can do that?
I mean,
because that's what, for me, they have to do.
It's not the try league.
It is for some. Sometimes you got to try hard. Some just don't ooze talent and can walk out there and go, I'm so talented that I'm just going to beat you and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, most teams aren't like that. And I think the lineup for the Jays is really not like that. So you have to try. That's what I said. Just take a step back. I think that's what Don Mattingly's saying. Try and take a step back. And look, they got a good enough team to figure it out. It's just, can you come together and a couple of the guys that you think can be superstars to carry the load for guys who are trying too hard to make up the slack, and we'll see if they can do that. This is a good test for them.
Like, I can't wait.
They're going to face some good pitching in the next 3 games.
I can't wait to see where Clark Schmidt finishes in the Cy Young voting this year. I'm really looking forward to that.
That has nothing to do with it. Can he throw to the Jays' weaknesses as
really
a lineup?
It.
And it looked to me like he could do that.
He's got
to
be in everybody's top five.
I mean, those are far and few between.
Kevin Gausman, what'd you make of his start? 1 1/3 innings, four hits.
I don't like the cold weather.
Cold weather, same thing. 2 swings and misses. The previous low as a Jay was 6. He got no swings and misses in the splitter.
That's what you do to that.
That performance came in the same day. You know, I haven't talked about this yet, but came in the same day that it seemed like every pitcher in baseball went down with an injury, right? Spencer Strider, Yuri Perez.
Fingers crossed that wasn't the case. But we've seen that before in cold weather.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though, is when you see something like that, you know, your initial reaction, given what the hell's going on, is to worry.
Especially how the number five starter looks and how everybody behind him sort of looks. If you didn't have Kevin for a little while,
yeah,
you know, it'd be tough. But I don't think that's the case, right? He was speaking the way he was supposed to be speaking after the game.
And it's the same thing.
We've seen it before.
It's the same thing we saw last year.
In Kansas City, it's one of those games, right? It was cold. He's coming off a warm game. You know, you try and get loose. He's a two-pitch guy, too.
I kind of expected that Gausman and Bassett to take a little while to get going this year because they're older. They got more innings under their belt now.
I think more Kevin because he's a two-pitch guy. Chris, because he can add and subtract, throw to a guy's weakness. You know, he's not an overthrower. He's more of a pitcher. He's trying to outthink you than outthrow you. You know, there's something to that. I would think he'll figure it out. You know, the cutter will be a little bit better to lefties in his next start. Like, he'll add and subtract the way he's supposed to. He'll keep it out of the middle of the zone. He'll, you know, not throw a ball down the middle in a big spot. Like, he'll make some adjustments. The sinker will be better. That elevated pitch seemed to be something that he needs to, you know, work at and get in a little bit better, the flow of things. It would just help if they score a few more runs. Like, we sort of knew this. We knew the pitching staff as a whole was not going to be as good as it was last year. It's almost impossible to do that. That's why we were talking about this in spring training, about the offense sort of needs to level itself out and live up to what everybody thought they could be. It's not the best offense in baseball, but be somewhere top 10, like 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range. That's good enough with the pitching they have.
The Jays lineup is as follows. Springer in right, Guerrero at third, Bo Bichette at short, Justin Turner's
the DH.
Did
you say Vladdy at third?
Vladdy at first, sorry.
There you go.
Bo Bichette at short, why not?
About to say.
Justin Turner at third. Davis Schneider in left field. Say, y'all got your wish.
Makes sense. He can hit a home.
Gavin Biggio at second. Alejandro Kirk behind the plate. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at third. Kevin Kiermaier in center field.
How do you beat a good pitcher? You hit homers. That's why Davis Schneider's in the lineup.
Is going to bring the house down when his name is.
Trying to hit a homer. What's the way you got to lose?
He is that guy this year, man.
I root for him. He's a nice kid.
Jose Barrios on the mound for the Blue Jays. Luis Castillo, as we mentioned, for the Mariners tomorrow. Chris Bassett against George Kirby. Logan Gilbert against Yusei Kikuchi. You might as well get Castillo and Kirby while you can right now because neither of them have gotten off the
plate. Velocity's a little all over the place and secondary stuff, right?
Yeah.
Castillo going to throw a change up to righties tonight? That's the thing. I mean, rarely does. But
rarely does.
If he's watching video, you would think good arm speed, keep it in the zone somewhat, you're going to get them righties out. So we'll see. That'll be interesting, too.
It will. And the Jays will have to make an adjustment to that.
You think?
Should it happen.
No, don't lie, Jeff.
Joe Siddle is our Blue Jays Central analyst on Sportsnet. He's going to join us from the new Rogers Center, the new look Rogers Center. Don't go anywhere. It's Blair and Barker, the home opener edition, the Eclipse edition, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, happy home opener, everybody. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. That's why we call the show Blair and Barker. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Sportsnet, it is the Blue Jays home opener, 7:07 tonight at the Rogers Center, the Seattle Mariners in town. And a reminder that Blair and Barker will be doing Blue Jays talk following the game tonight. What are you looking at me like you? That for? Let's bring in Joe Siddle, our Blue Jays central analyst.
Wow, look how good he looks.
Look at how good he looks.
Wow.
Down at the brand new Rogers Center.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty nice. Hey, Joe, how important is it for this team, never mind the road trip, the 4-6 road trip, how important is it for this team on this homestand to try to reestablish what used to be a pretty good home field advantage?
Houston and the Yankees. I think we all would agree that 5-5 would have been okay. 4-6, a bit of a disappointment. But I was just talking to DeMarlo Hale here on the field. And I said, really, you got a homestand here now where you can have a good homestand, make up for what happened on the road, and you're right back on track, right back where you want to be. So hopefully they can do that. But I think the most important thing, guys, is...
Hey, Joe, you know what? I'm going to just jump in here because we're having a difficult time. We're having a difficult time hearing you. I'll turn it over to the experts to get that fixed up if we could. Kevin, the you know, hearing what Joe said about the home field advantage, you know, it's, I mean, it's something we've talked about in the past, something we've dealt with in the past when it comes to this team. But is it important to establish that right away, like in this series?
Yeah, I think so. Again, it's more about the way I think pitchers are going to attack lineups for the Blue Jays. Is you want to try and stay in the big part of the field, and big part of the field a lot of the times at the Rogers Center, ball doesn't carry there. You know, again, I say this, if a good hitter for the Blue Jays lays into one to right center and is mechanically perfect on that pitch and the ball don't go where he wants it to go, how does that affect the bats after that? And that's the big thing, right, is Joe's exactly right. Like, this for me is, you know, a big homestand just for confidence-wise. I said this is why 6-4, I was yelling and screaming about that on the road stand, or the road trip, was that's how important it was because of how the season ended and what they didn't do in the offseason and sort of who they're counting on. And then you show up and it sort of looks the way it looks. Yeah, it's a big homestand, and especially with the balls that are being hit in the big part of the field. We'll see how that affects them. If it doesn't go the way they want it to go, can they just erase it and move on and attack it in a different way? We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Mark Shapiro at 5 o'clock. He's president and CEO of the Blue Jays. We'll talk about the Rogers Center because I've often wondered, and I've never really received an answer from anybody in this, but I wondered how much the new configuration in the ballpark last year played into the change in offensive fortunes of this team. And, you know, it is...
Sure didn't help.
It's very much, you know, we had Buck on talking about this, you know, and you change the configuration, you change some walls and, you know, the air patterns and all this stuff. I mean, it really is kind of a baseball thing that if you fiddle around with the dimensions of a park or the guts of the park or the seating, that there may be some sort of environmental factors that creep into it. But, you know, we'll see if Mark says anything. The one thing we do know about the reworking of the lower bowl is that there's less foul territory.
Now, if you watch the meat of the order for the Blue Jays, how many of them dudes look like they're trying to pull everything? Most of them, right? Other than Bo and maybe Justin Turner with two strikes. Everybody else trying to pull. If you're going to do damage, they ain't going to do it the other way. You think that has anything to do with the Rogers Center? Yeah, you think that has anything to do with the approach that they're screaming? And maybe that screams a strong word, but trying to push this sort of approach. You know, don't swing at the ball in the corners. Swing at the ball that you get at on the one down the middle. Can I pull the ball down the middle? Absolutely, right? That's the thing, right, is you have to adjust the things that's sort of out of your control, and maybe they're not capable of doing that. That's an interesting thing of this. We'll see. I'm sure the more we go to batting practice, the more we have conversations with players around the team who take batting practice there. You see Vladdy in batting practice hitting balls to right center in the second deck. That's a great thing, because that will translate to in the game, because now he doesn't think that he has to pull everything to have success in the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you're more mechanically sound. You stay on the slider down the way a little bit more. Maybe you take it more. Maybe you're getting better hitters counts. Maybe you can drive balls because of that. And all of those game in. I will say this. The mental part of baseball is a giant deal. And if you think you have to make up for something because of a ball's not carrying the way you think it should be carrying, it's going to mess with you. And do you think this lineup 1-9 could be messed with mentally and overcome it? I don't.
You know, my concern here is there is such a – I don't even know how you would describe it. I think there's still a bit of a carryover from last year in terms of how people view this team. And my concern going into this homestand is if this team gets off to a wobbly start in this series and the fans turn,
mm-hmm.
I wonder what that's going to do to this team that is already pressing. And you know, I think Ben Nicholson-Smith wrote a terrific article on sportsnet.ca, and, you know, his point was, look, this is the first game the Jays have had at home since, well, I guess, the last game of the regular season. We all know how the postseason ended. We all know what happened after the postseason. We all know what happened or didn't happen in the offseason. And you just have to wonder, you have to wonder how patient people are. We have got Joe Siddle back. Joe, thanks for your patience, man. Really appreciate it.
All good.
We were talking about home field advantage. Please continue your thoughts and the need for it, because, you know, Bo Bichette told us on our show this winter, he said, hey, look, it got in our heads. I mean, he admitted mm-hmm. there were some guys in this team, yeah, the lack of production at home got in our heads.
Well, you know, what I was saying, guys, is I think we knew going into the season it was going to be tough 10 on the road against the teams that they were playing against. And you face some pretty good pitching as well. Come home 4-6, not ideal at all. But I think regarding the home field here and the renovations and all that, I mean, I go back to spring training one day. I was watching some batting practice on field one, and Vogelbach hit a deep fly ball to right field, and it got out. And one of the Blue Jays players in the hitting group, but I won't name the right-handed hitting right fielder, but he said, that's a flyout at the Rogers Center. And they all had their chuckle, and Vogelbach said, it better not be. And he said, oh, you'll see. So when you ask, is it in the players' heads? I think it's in the players' heads for sure, but more so because they believe that it played big. It played like a big ballpark. But that stuff's got to get out of their heads. And despite this start, you know, I just talked to DeMarlo Hale on the field here just about 10 minutes ago, and I said, you have a good homestand, and you're right back where you want to be. And that's probably pretty important. And I think confidence is a big thing, especially when we're talking about this Blue Jays lineup and the way they're swinging the bats.
Joe, the lineup, looked for me anyway, looks like they're trying too hard. And, you know, me and you were triers because we stunk at it, and we had to try to stay on a big league team. How does 1-9 – not try so hard? I know that sounds very little leaguish, right? How dare you say don't try? We all know the harder you try, the slower your bat gets, the more you chase. That for me is the way they look 1-9. How do they get out of that?
I don't know if it's 1-9, Kev. I mean, if you told me that Justin Turner and Bo Bichette at times were trying to do too much because they're trying to get this team going, I'd say, yeah, they're human and they're really good hitters, and I'll take their at-bats any day of the week. But quite frankly, the other seven spots have not been good. I'm not sure it's a case of guys trying too hard. I see some bad swings. I see some bad approaches. More importantly, some bad swing paths. And I could go up and down the lineup. We could go one at a time if you want. But, you know, take, for example, like a Dalton Varsho, who's clearly scuffling again. And what are teams doing? Well, they're throwing the changeups down and away, and they're pounding him with the velocity. And it's an easy at-bat for opposing pitchers right now. Kevin Kiermaier is lost at the plate. So you can only hope that stuff gets better. But aside from Bo and Turner, not too many quality at-bats. Now, of course, Ernie's come in and done some things. Schneider's done some good things, too. But they're really part-time players right now. I'm talking about the guys that have been getting a lot of the everyday at-bats.
Joe, you know, we heard Don Mattingly's interview, and I know you guys heard it as well over the weekend, talking about, essentially saying that maybe this isn't necessarily a team built on power. And it's something that he had mentioned to people around the team last year as well. Do you think maybe as fans and media, and I'm including the media in this, some of us, and I include myself in that group, we need to kind of move past the Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, Josh Don. We need to move past the 30 home run days and just kind of accept that, you know, this is a team that I hate to use phrases like lunch pail and blue collar, but that's
true.
That's kind of the offense they're going to have. They're going to be get them on. I don't know if it'll work. I have my doubts, but they're going to be kind of a get them on, get them over group.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to work real well in 2024. We know that the long ball plays, and I don't think George Springer has to hit 35 home runs, but if he could hit 20 to 25, if Bo could maybe untap a little power too, and he's such a good hitter and can get a lot of hits, but maybe take a shot every once in a while. Turner can hit his 20-plus. But guess whose name it always comes back to, guys? The one guy in this lineup that's capable of hitting 40 to 50 is Vladdy. And that swing is nowhere near hitting 30 right now. And that's a big void. So if you could have that power in the lineup, that's the big one. The other ones, I mean, you know, when I hear Don Mattingly talk like that, it's almost like you're trying to create a lot of Don Mattingly-type hitters. Remember Donnie Baseball?
Yep.
He was just a really good hitter, line to line, that had some pop at times as well. So instead of trying to be power hitters, be really good hitters that have a little pop. But aside from Vladdy, I don't think anybody in this lineup's capable of doing what he can do. And I'm sure he's trying to do that. But we've had this discussion a million times, guys. I just think his swing is different than it has been in the past. He's got a forward move that doesn't allow him to stay behind the baseball real well. Until you stop doing that, your path is going to be somewhat steep. And you're going to be pounding stuff into the ground to the pull side and not getting to velocity.
Joe, are you worried about the rotation at all?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I'm necessarily concerned about what happened to Kevin Gausman in his start, but when the first pitch of the ball game was 88 miles per hour, we heard how cold it was in New York and how uncomfortable it was. But, you know, going into this season, did you guys expect this rotation to do the same thing again? It's a lot to ask, right? Yeah. Especially when you've got a veteran like Gausman in his 30s. You got Bassett's 35. Jose Barrios is probably the one you feel best about because he's just Mr. Consistency, and he's been that way his entire career aside from the 1 year with the Blue Jays. And Kikuchi's been so-so. Nice one last time out. Hopefully he can keep doing that. But it's a lot to ask that rotation to do what they did. And you're trying to fill in the number five spot right now with Manoa out, but Bowden Francis has scuffled. And we'll see how that goes over the course of maybe a few more starts. And maybe it is Ariel Rodriguez sooner than we thought.
Joe, last one before we let you go. What do you think of the new stadium? Everything they've done. You like it?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, you guys saw what they did last year. We were standing here for the home opener admiring everything that was done in the outfield section. And now the 100 level's done. This is a beautiful ballpark, and what a lot of people probably aren't seeing right now. We were in the clubhouse earlier. We went into John Schneider's office to meet with the manager. We didn't get behind the scenes everywhere, but I've heard from a few players, it's just unbelievable. And that's great. A team's providing all the resources, put everything into their players. And now guess what? Yeah. It's up to their players to come through.
Well said.
Joe, really good of you to join us. Yeah. Thanks so much, man. Thanks for your patience
as well.
Terrific insight as always. We'll see you down there.
See you, buddy.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All righty. That is Joe Siddle, Blue Jay Central Analyst. And
I was trying to be nice with the trying too hard thing, and there's a fine line there, right? I mean, again, it's the meat of the order trying to make up for things that other guys aren't doing that they're putting a ton of pressure on to do things that maybe they're not capable of. Maybe it's not fair. If it is one way or the other, it's just, again, I think until there's a reason why John and Ross Atkins have came out and said the things that they've said about 1 through 4 in the order and not saying it about 5 through 9. I've never heard John say, well, 5 through 9's got to carry the load. I've never heard him say that. It's always been 1 through 4. There's right. a reason why he's saying that, right? The quality at bat, what they think of the talent 1 through 4. And then there's everybody else.
But if you're going to be a team that I really hate, I'm using all these old hockey cliches, but if you're going to be a team that's going to sort of grind out at bats and grind out runs, it's not just good enough to have 1-4. You've got to have guys.
Who other than the first four guys can grind out at bats?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
If he's not playing a ton, Dalton Varsho losing.
I'm asking you that. How do you do that? I'm asking you how you do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure they do. Again, I think you have to adjust game plans individually. Not everybody can do damage. What's the definition of doing damage? I mean, I think Hazel was the one that asked that question about the damage part of it to Donnie Baseball. And he was remarking on, that's a very fine word. Like, you got to be careful using that to everybody. Because if I hear a coach walk up to me and say, do damage, the first thing I think of, hit it in the seats. I ain't talking about hitting a single to right. Everybody can't hit home runs.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right, is, and anybody to point to say we're not really a home run hitting team. So it's like the approach and the message, it's a little all over the place, and I just don't know how you refine it enough to get the best out of every single player. How do you do that? And that's why they continue to tell everybody 1-4, 1-4 is going to take this team where they're going to go. And I do say this, given the four-hole hitter days off this early in the season is a hard take. I understand how old he is, and I understand he played third the day before. But, man, would you rather seen him up twice with the bases loaded than Alejandro Kirk? Kirky is hitting in the seven hole for a reason.
Yeah.
It's just a tough look. This early in the season, I get it.
When I saw the middle of that order, I thought,
it ain't the middle of the order. It's the dude hitting cleanup.
No, I'm saying, but Kirk, Biggio, Clement, I thought,
it's tough. Good luck.
You know, that's
so yeah, it's sometimes you got to pivot. Sometimes you got to adjust. Sometimes you got to adapt and overcome. Sometimes you just got to go, I understand the game plan. We got to adjust and you know, maybe throw a guy in here and give him a day off some other time. I mean, I only know that he was ready to pinch hit, so it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with him. He was up.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a helmet in the eighth or ninth inning. Now, he was ready to pinch hit for
again,
a guy.
I am going to always, because I learned my lesson last year, I'm always going to say this because I know a lot of people bring it up about the off days and all that. Knock on wood, this organization last year did a really good job of keeping a lot of older dudes on the field. And that's why I agree. Look, I saw the lineup yesterday and I thought, but if it's going to take that to keep Justin Turner on the field the way they kept George Springer on the field last year.
Yeah, that's an everyday right fielder. That's not an everyday DH. I mean, come on, dude.
I'm sure they have their reasons for doing it. And I'm sure those reasons for doing it are the same reasons that George Springer wasn't, you know, dealt that way.
If the at-bats that you saw with guys with bases loaded, you can't complain and yell about that.
No, then. But you can't predict that. You can't predict that. I agree with you. I'd rather have Justin Turner in the lineup every day hitting cleanup. But this organization, whatever you may want to say about it.
Now, they would argue they can't predict that.
Whatever you want to say about it, they've done a good job of keeping dudes healthy. Now, they can't do anything about Danny Jansen getting hit by a pitch.
Absolutely they can.
Well, okay.
Absolutely they can get him to wear.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be wearing it, too.
Yeah, but Kevin, my point is that's not the same as overworking the guy. So I'm saying whatever they're doing health-wise is working with their older players. So I think we need to maybe call a little time out and wondering why the hell Justin Turner wasn't in.
The only thing I know is he was getting loose in the eighth inning. He was wearing a helmet with a bat, stretching, walking up the steps to on the field.
You know how I feel about days off. A day off should be a day off. But this is what this team did last year, and it worked.
Well, they're searching for confidence, and the one dude that's got confidence ain't playing.
This is what last year.
I understand.
And it worked.
I'm not saying it didn't work with certain guys play right. I'm just saying the dude that wants to DH every single day and occasionally play third because they're trying to get the lefty DH in there. That's all I'm saying. I mean, Kirky came up twice with the bases loaded. And that's what they yell and scream about, how smart they are and how they can predict the future.
I think that first and foremost, with this organization, I think a lot of analytical work goes into keeping dudes healthy. And, you know, we can rant about it. I mean, we've done it for 3 or 4 years, and it doesn't matter because they keep doing it.
If you're trying to save him for September, they may not even be here in September.
It's not a matter of saving guys for September. It's a matter of keeping guys healthy so that you have them in May and June and
July. I always thought it was up to the guy to keep himself healthy and on the field.
Apparently it's not, and it hasn't been that way for how many years? You spend all this money in sports science. You're not going to spend all this money in sports science and then say, you guys stand off to the side. We're going to trust the player.
We all know why they're using it. Just sometimes this early in the season will make you scratch your head a little.
I don't know. Other teams
on who they're using it with.
Other teams do it. Other
teams that are trying to make the playoffs in the American League East don't have one of the worst lineups in baseball.
They're still giving guys days off.
Okay.
Well, I'm just I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm just saying this early.
You think everybody should play 162.
Nobody plays
162.
What I'm saying. Just sometimes you got to take a step back and be a little smarter. And now, again, this is just understanding that we know what we know, which is he wasn't in the lineup. Now, there could be other reasons why he wasn't in the lineup I know is I saw him getting loose in the eighth inning with a helmet on.
There could be
standing
other
on the top step, about ready to go pinch hit. That's all.
It's the way it is.
But I like seeing Turner hit with traffic.
I like lots of traffic. What was he on Saturday? I'm trying to look at that. I'm just saying the lineup, we know how the lineup's made. We just do. And, yeah.
Admit it. I was right. You're wrong. Just admit it.
No. I will.
We all know you're right, and we all don't like it. How's that?
That's probably the best
way. There it is. We all know you're right because we've seen it right in front of us.
Yeah.
We've seen it play out, but we don't have to like it.
Well, nobody's saying you have to like it, but I just don't. I was surprised when I saw Justin Turner. You were not surprised. But I was.
He's 39. You were not surprised. Day game after playing third.
No, it didn't. It didn't. Yeah, you ain't surprised. It didn't blow me away. It didn't blow me away completely. And as I said, whatever worked with George Springer last year, got to work again. It's got to work with Justin Turner. But I do see your point. And yes, I did notice. The first thing I'm thinking to myself is, okay, Justin Turner's not playing. You know what's going to happen. Alejandro Kirk's going to come up with the bases
twice.
I mean, that's predictable. That is predictable.
He's hitting cleanup, Jeff.
7:07 is the first pitch tonight at the Rogers Center. It is the Blue Jays home opener against the Seattle Mariners. Luis Castillo on the mound for the Mariners. Jose Berríos gets the start for the Blue Jays. Mark Shapiro is president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. I've got a lot to talk to Mark about. Want to talk about the final stage. I think it's the final stage of renovations.
Sounds like it.
At the Rogers Center that ran someplace close to, I believe, $400 million, maybe a bit more. Last year, stage one was completed. That was the ballpark, I guess, the playing field and the dimensions and some of the areas and the different levels. This year, the focus was on the clubhouse, the training area, and the premium seating
area. No more excuses if you're a player. You got it all.
Mark Shapiro's next. It's Blue Jays home opener. And this is Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You know I'm right. Sportsnet 5, and it bothers you. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Up the biggest games of the night. It's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. It is the Blue Jays home opener, 7:07, first pitch from the Rogers Center. the Blue Jays and the Seattle Mariners. Well, you know by now that the Rogers Center has undergone a two-stage renovation. Last year was the first stage. This year was the second stage. A lot of attention paid to the clubhouse level, to the clubhouse, just to the medical facilities, training facilities, underneath the guts of the stadium, and the premium seating level. Mark Shapiro is president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, the man who has overseen the renovation of the Rogers Center. And we're very pleased to have Mark Shapiro join us in Blair and Barker. Mark, thank you so much for doing this. Happy home opener. And look, you've made a lot of changes to the Rogers Center, both for the players and for the fans. I wanted to ask you, can you, beyond the, you know, how it looks and all that, how important is it for a team to be able to utilize its ballpark for revenue streams, given the way the game is going now?
I mean, our most important revenue stream is always baseball. So, you know, I think you want to be able to have other opportunities for concerts. We have a fairly big one coming up here in November you might have heard about, Taylor Swift.
Right.
But our primary business is baseball, and that's the most important thing that we do here. And the renovation and the spirit of the renovation is all about making this baseball a specific ballpark, moving it from a stadium to a ballpark, taking a 1980s facility that was largely circular and the same experience everywhere, where the players were removed from the fans to some extent, and making it baseball specific, you know, where the angles and all the seats, more than you mentioned, down the line everywhere, are facing the action. They're bigger, they're wider seats, and it's a much better experience for all of our fans and for our players as well.
Mark, what was the most difficult part of getting this thing done as quickly as it's been done?
Just a massive construction project, one that would have taken probably 18 months conventionally, that we got done in less than 6 months. So thousands of Canadian workers here overnight, over weekends, over holidays, tirelessly working to get this done, to get it to the state that it's in right now, ready to play ball.
Mark, what have players said about the renovations? And, you know, there's no more excuses, right? You've given them everything, everything you can possibly get them to be the best player they can be. Feedback from the players been what?
I'm not a big believer in excuses anyway, but we're trying to narrow them down every step of the way between the training facility and here. And that's more of a byproduct, Kevin, of our philosophy and mine of controlling what we can control. We can control the environment they play in. We can control the facilities they have, the coaches they have, all the resources they've got mentally, physically, and fundamentally. And this is a testament to being best in class, support of our ownership to allow us to have the best facility in all of spring training and now the best clubhouse. So the players got in late last night. I didn't get a whole lot of reaction. I've gotten some really positive ones today, but we need to get past opening day and all that goes with opening day, settle in and then using the spaces and really see what the impact is.
Mark, did you at any point in the off season or even during last season as the season was going on, wonder why the team's offensive performance seemed to be different at home last year than it was the year before? Because I know we had Bo Bichette on him, and Bo said, hey, I thought it got in our head a little bit.
Baseball is a mental game. I mean, Kevin can tell you that. It's the biggest separator. It separates out players. It makes good players great players. And it is a challenge. It's a grind. It is a very tough thing to do to hit. And it's tough mentally as well as it is physically. So, but, yeah, of course I wondered that. But I also was cautious to draw any conclusions from 1 year.
Mark, the first 10 games of the season, what's your takeaway? What have you seen? What have you liked? What have you not liked?
Well, my takeaway is to not take too much away from the first 10 games of the season. Despite the fact that I'm watching the same thing you're watching, we faced some very good pitching, obviously. What we faced in Houston wasn't a coincidence. You saw what they did to the Texas Rangers lineup. And that we faced some tough pitching, and we've seen some really positive things. but we've also seen some things have to get ironed out. This team's going to be fine. We're going to go as far as our great players take us. Our young players are now in their prime, and they are great players. Everybody in the game knows it. If they play like great players, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, Mark, what's your sense of the fan base? You know, you've been out and about. What are fans saying to you when they see you?
I mean, fans are incredibly positive to my face. I think you guys hear the other side of things.
That's actually a very, very good answer. Changing focus a little bit, you know, we saw a number of starting pitchers go down this week. And we saw, of course, the Players Association and the commissioner's office engage in a back and forth Saturday night. How concerned are you as a baseball man, as a lifelong baseball man, about the injuries we've seen to pitchers? And I mean, is there anything that can be done about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on that competition committee. We have got to study that. It is a much bigger problem than just anecdotally blame the pitch clock for it. I mean, I think the biggest issue is the way pitchers train now, the velocity training, some of the strength and conditioning routines, the way the pitchers build up. But the fact that pitchers throw max velocity from the time they come out and start a game, 95, 96, 97, 98 miles an hour, just the way that pitchers are bringing velocity and generating velocity, most human bodies cannot withstand that. Pitching has always been such a difficult thing to sustain from a physical and health standpoint. But when you tack on the training that's involved with maximizing velocity, I think that's creating our issues. And we've got to think more about what we can do to offset some of that.
Mark, is there any worry about a rotation getting off to a slow start like the Blue Jays?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I'd rest on track records and what these guys have done over their careers. Reinforcements potentially coming with Yariel Rodriguez and Manoah. I think we're going to be fine in the pitching category.
Mark, listen, I know you've got a lot to do today. Your time is valuable. Thanks so much for doing this. Again, enjoy the opener. Yep. Congratulations on the Rogers Center. And hopefully you'll have a moment to sit back and kind of enjoy all the work that's gone into this, because it's spectacular.
Good luck, Mark. Thanks so much
for joining us.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate that. Take care.
Take care. That is Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Blue Jays. And people are going to notice a big difference when they go down to the ballpark. The seating in particular, the angling. I get frustrated when people... I wouldn't say accuse, Mark, but when people always talk about how, oh, the Jays are only worried about the stadium, they're not worried about the product on the field, and you know, I keep thinking back to when I moved to Toronto, you know, like 2000, and just the concern there was around the Blue Jays with the previous ownership, Interbrew, and that concern was in the commissioner's office as well. I mean, the Rogers Center, like I said, if I had a dollar for every time I sat with Paul Godfrey, who was the president and CEO of the team, and just kind of spitballed about, what are you going to do with this place? Like, are they going to build a new ballpark? Where are you going to build it? Are you going to build a ballpark down at the Portlands? Are you going to build it down where, you know, in the old exhibition stadium is? And I think people tend to forget how I wouldn't say tenuous, but just how uncertain things were around this team. Because you were owned by Interbrew, a Belgian brewery that had no interest in owning a baseball team. They had no interest. And I'm not carrying water for Ted Rogers here or the Rogers family. I'm just saying that that place needed a lot of work. And yeah, I understand that ticket prices have gone up. I understand there's going to be dissatisfaction. Some fans, longtime fans, have been removed. I get all that. But, man, I wish people could kind of go back to that time and just remember what it felt like, what the level of concern was at that point in time with the Rogers Center. And it's gone. And, you know, and I mean, at some point, the Jays, Toronto's going to have an all-star game in the next couple of years. We can say that. I mean, I know Shai's reported that. I know the commissioner's office is on about that. And the way the game is going, man, you got to generate revenue. And I know that part of the equation for the people who run this team and own this team is, look, we'll put money in for the payroll. But you got to be able to generate revenue that's going to help sustain that payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see all these things, the different bars and all that, man, I mean, that, I know Mark doesn't like to talk about it in terms of revenue because it kind of makes it soulless and it takes away from the, we're doing this because you want to create a beautiful baseball experience for people. But I mean, the fact of the matter is you got to generate money to sustain this thing. And sometimes I just think.
Yeah, I think it's.
I think people sometimes lose sight of
it. Well, I think you got to be fair, though. I think what some fans are thinking, the renovations have to, or the product on the field has to duplicate what the renovations are looking like, right? I think that's what it is. You're throwing all this into the renovations. You want the product on the line or on the field to be sort of the same as what the field looks like, right?
Yeah.
And we can all agree here. Like, this is why me and you in the offseason were doing podcasts on they need two hitters and not one hitter. And the Ohtani conversation, and there's going to be a giant letdown if they only bring in one other guy because of what the other guys are not doing capable of. It's fair. It's not fair.
Yeah,
it's fair.
I think,
especially from what we've seen the first 10 games.
I think we have
it's
been.
It's like Groundhog Day a little.
I think we have been consistently critical of the way this team has been put together. I think I was last year. I think I was very early to the party last year being critical of how this team was put together. You know, this team won three fewer regular season games last year than it did the year before. Right, last year was a step back. It just was. Other than the new stadium, it was a step back for the Blues.
Can I ask you a question? Would you be shocked if the Jays were 10 games under 500 again in the American League East? Would you be shocked?
At the end of the year?
Absolutely. You're thinking too long about this. You wouldn't be shocked. Come on. You'd be shocked because of what they haven't done.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would this year. Yeah, I think I would this year. 10 games under 500. I think I would this year.
You might be the only one in Toronto. I'm thinking they'll be a little bit better. But that was the whole point and why you needed to bring better quality in here. Why does it take seven or – I've said this to you, and I don't know the answer to it. Why does it take seven or eight hitting coaches to tell an entire lineup what to do every single day? Why does it take
Kevin,
that?
That's odd, right? That's the way teams operate
Maybe,
now.
Maybe, I guess.
You know? The team that won the World Series last year had an offensive coordinator.
Maybe you can do that to the Rangers because they have tons of talent. Astros.
I'm just saying, the idea that the Blue Jays are somehow outliers in their reliance on analytics is just silly.
Yeah, I don't think that's the conversation. I think the conversation is maybe it's the way they present it and how many different people are presenting it.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the New York Yankees have as many hitting coaches.
Haven't been good the last couple of years at hitting. Like, there's a couple of guys. That's the point. That's why they had khakis coming in, looking at their khakis like that. I'm not saying it's not going to work and they're not supposed to do it and it's not beneficial. I'm just saying. This is why sometimes you just can't teach talent. And maybe just 1 through 9, they're trying to force that. And that's why I think fans are a little frustrated. You bring in a couple of guys like Turner. I mean, you're cooking with gravy with that. I mean, that's something.
Listen,
like, that's what you want.
Here's the thing.
But there's just not enough
of
those.
If you had Justin Turner and Teoscar Hernandez,
absolutely,
you'd be okay.
Or Lourdes.
Lourdes.
Because he's a good hitter and he can hit fastballs line to line.
You know what? That was a trade that was made. And I saw the reason.
We needed a lefty.
I don't believe.
That's what it was.
I don't believe in do-overs. If you said at the time that you thought a trade was good, now you can look back and go, the trade didn't work out. But I'm not going to sit here after saying I like the trade And I let me rephrase that. I'm not going to sit here after saying I understand why the trade was made and then say, well, it was a horrible trade.
Well, you were the first guy that says it sure looked like they pivoted to, you know, they were trying to do something and it didn't work out. And then you have to pivot to get what you think you need in here,
I think,
which is balance.
I think.
And this is what they had to do, right?
I think trading, I understood why they traded Teoscar. He wasn't going to re-sign here. I think if it's me, I would have really thought three or four times about trading Teoscar Hernandez. I understand you were going to maximize your defense. I get all that. But I would have found a way to keep Teoscar Hernandez on the team, maybe as a full-time DH. Whatever. But the Gurriel and Moreno deal at the time, I understood why it was made. I keep telling people, Gabriel Moreno was not going to be your starting catcher last year. He would have started the year in AAA if the Jays hadn't made that deal. There was no way he was going to beat out Alejandro.
Yeah, it sure would be nice to have that kind of player now, young, and can throw guys out. And
but you know what?
So you don't have to abuse playing time with Kirky.
Trades quite often don't work out. That's one of the risks.
Well, predicting the future is if one guy gets hurt that gets hurt a lot, we will have to abuse the other guy, his body type. Is he capable of doing that? And that's what that's all about, right, is looking ahead and trying to predict that. And it's they've done an excellent job with the pitching side of it. Whoever needs to take credit for that can raise their hand and take credit for that. Offensively,
they've done a good job with the pitching side. They've done a good job fixing the bullpen on the fly. I don't worry about the pitching this year. Given what we've seen, so I don't worry about the pitching. I just don't. I've seen kind of what I expected to see or what I suspected I would see out of the pitching. Yeah, some issues with the bullpen. Yenesis Cabrera, be able to get lefties out at some point.
When the two guys get back, that'll be taken care of.
Swanson and Romano are returning. And again, whatever people may say about Ross, one thing Ross Atkins has done is they've done okay with pitching. Generally, they've done okay with pitching. The lineup, and we talked about this with Jim Bowden the other day. I will admit to being confused that this team has the payroll that it has and hasn't locked up one of those two guys, Vladdy or Bo. But I mean, I've said that all along.
I mean, if they have locked one of the two up, are they a better offense for it?
I don't know if they're a better offense for it. Would fans feel better? Yeah. Yeah,
I think they'd feel better if they were 6-4.
No, fans would.
That's what make them feel better.
I think you scoring
3.5 runs a game.
I think you really underestimate.
Maybe.
I think you really underestimate how important. Because here's, you got to remember this about these fans heard about Vladdy for 2 years before he was here. And fans equate this team's window of opportunity with Bo and Vladdy. And as you get closer to them leaving, it's only natural that, and I'm not saying this to disparage fans, but I'm saying as those two get closer to leaving and there's no resolution in their long-term status, it's only natural that fans are going to sit there and say, hey, there's 3 years left in this window, 2 years left in this window, 1 year left in this window. I apologize for going off and on a bit of a tangent there, but
you can see both sides of it. What you said, and you can see a fan side of it too, who are a little frustrated about the offense. You can see that they are a legit bat away that can hit fifth.
Yeah,
from being a little bit better anyway, not being a 3.5 run scorer a game team, which would help the pitching staff. A lot.
Do you remember what you were doing 50 years ago today?
No, I did not.
I actually do. I actually watched this game 50 years ago today, April 8th, 1974 to be exact. Hank Aaron hit his 715th home run.
Wow.
To break Babe Ruth's record. And, of course, that record was subsequently broken by Barry Bonds. And it remains... We've kind of gotten rid of a lot of the stain of steroids in baseball, except when it comes to debating the home run record, the all-time home run leader, because there are still people who maintain that Henry Aaron's record, is the real home run record. It's kind of interesting here because you're a contemporary of Barry Bonds. You played at the same time Bonds mm-hmm. played. I covered Bonds, and I'm kind of like, I was there during the steroid scandal, all that. But, man, I still look at Barry Bonds, and I go, you know what? To me, that's still the record. Like, I don't get into these debates about whether or not Henry Aaron's record is the real record or Bonds' record is the real record. To me, it's Barry Bonds, man. I mean, whatever he took to do it, however it happened, every sport has issues with each era.
Yep.
You can go back to before the color barrier was broken in baseball and look at all those records set back then. Ask yourself, well, okay, do those records have legitimacy? Because clearly all the best players in the game weren't taking part there. So you don't have any doubt. If I said to you, baseball's home run king, who would you say?
I don't, because I was on a team that walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded, Jeff Kent on the on-deck circle. Like, he's the greatest hitter that I've ever seen walk to a plate. That's my opinion. Everybody has their opinion. I think what he tried to do, getting basically one strike or two strikes a week, and one of those two strikes would leave the yard, whether he's using what he's using or not, you still have to hit it. And, we can still make the argument that there's some people in the Hall of Fame that,
Oh, absolutely.
Right. This is the beauty of sports. This is the beauty of baseball, as everybody has their opinion. My opinion that Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter to ever walk. My mind will never change because I've seen it up close and personal.
Do you think there will ever be a resolution to this? He's obviously he's not voted into the Hall of Fame. Veterans Committee, I mean, who the hell knows? Look at the guys that the Veterans Committee hasn't put in yet.
Do you want to be the group? That's the thing, right? Do you want to be the group to put those guys in? I'm not sure. I don't think there ever will be one. I think in some people's mind he will be the greatest hitter ever walk that nobody wants to celebrate.
I'm going to make a prediction here. Rob Manfred has announced that this is his last contract as commissioner. I would not be surprised if, as part of his legacy when he leaves this game, I think he is going to figure out a way, understanding that the Hall of Fame is not, Major League Baseball doesn't run the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is its own thing. I think you may see Rob Manfred figure out a way to bring Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, and Clemens into
Good luck. I don't see that. I think because of the rule changes, that's made him a Hall of Famer, Rob Manfred. Now, the pace of the game, that's a big deal. I think he will be a Hall of Famer because of that. Do you think he wants to be the guy that's done that? I'm not sure.
The commissioner's got a lot of powers. This is something I was thinking about yesterday because I was, and I realized, because I remember watching the game where Aaron hit the home run. I was 14 years old. That was a big sports moment for me because I was a huge baseball fan. And baseball, it was so rare that it was on TV then, especially when you're living in southern Manitoba. We had three stations.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that game was carried live on one of the American stations we got. And to see that was really something. So I was thinking about that yesterday a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Rob kind of bring that.
I'm not sure how you do that unless you have a special place in the hall, and we both know there's already Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
in there, so it'd be tough. Good luck with that,
Henry Aaron. Man, that was a great moment. Vince Scully's call was spectacular. Mm-hmm. That 7:07 is the first pitch tonight. It is the Blue Jays home opener against the Seattle Mariners. Our Shai Davidi is down at the Rogers Center. He'll join us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy home opener, everybody. It's Blair and Barker, 707, first pitch, Jays and Seattle Mariners. Just a little bit of breaking news here. We had Mark Shapiro, CEO, president and CEO of the Blue Jays, on a little earlier. I asked him about the spate of pitching injuries we're seeing in Major League Baseball. Mark was on the competition committee, and it was that committee whose decision to cut time off the pitching clock was pinpointed by the Players Association on Saturday as contributing to the injuries. I mean, there's no evidence that that is necessarily the case. The reason I mention that is the Houston Astros have scheduled a media availability for about 15 minutes away from now. They have scratched left-hander Framber Valdez from his start tonight against the Texas Rangers. General manager Dana Brown and manager Joe Espada are going to meet with the media in a few minutes in the dugout. So Spencer Strider's gone down, Eury Pérez, Jonathan Loaisiga. This could be another injury to a starting.
I don't know
pitcher.
How you fix it.
I don't either. I think it's probably a systemic thing. You've probably got to start.
Maybe you don't fix it.
Well, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. Shai Davidi is Sportsnet's MLB insider. He is at the Rogers Center. Shai, thanks for joining us on Blair and Barker. Speaking of injured pitchers, I'm hoping you have some news for us on Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano, who are, of course, rehabbing still in Florida.
Yeah, they're progressing well. Both general manager Ross Atkins and John Schneider saying that they came out of their recent outings. Swanson at low A Dunedin yesterday, Jordan Romano a live batting practice. Feeling really well, and I think they're still figuring out the exact nature of the next steps. For Swanson, that could very well be an outing in Buffalo. Maybe that's another live BP for Jordan Romano here before he goes off to begin a rehab assignment as well. So those guys are on track for a return. I don't have an exact time frame. I think there's still a little bit of making sure that they're feeling completely fine and they're recovering well after their performances, but it does seem like they're on the horizon. Exactly when, still to be determined.
Shai, how did they fix Alek Manoah?
It's a good question. So I think if somebody had the answer to that, it would be probably in position to make a good chunk of money right now. I think what the Blue Jays are talking about and focusing on is that the stuff is there, right? He was sitting 94 yesterday, up to 96. They really like the movement on the slider. It's just, how does he harness it a bit more? And the delivery was a little inconsistent yesterday. And is that rust? Is that still just, lack of game action catching up to him a little bit? Is it something else? They don't seem to believe that there's anything physical happening. So is it a mechanical fix? Is it something else? I think that's the thing that they're working on. But, you know, I think a lot of the discussion with Alek last year was around, you know, how is he going to get some of that power back that was missing from his stuff? And that piece seems to be there. So if that's resolved, then it's how do you take the next step? What do you do to get him back into the zone more consistently? And, you know, if you look at that outing yesterday, I believe it was 17 of his first 19 pitches were all balls. And definitely not what you want to see. It stabilized a little bit from there. But I think for the Blue Jays, you want to see him pitch again, start maybe putting a little bit more emphasis on results. It's, you know, making sure, one, physically, are you there? Is the power there? That box is checked. Okay, now let's see if he can compete in a more effective way. And I think that'll probably be a focal point for his next outing.
Shai, how about Bowden Francis in the five spot? I mean, you talk about Alek Manoah. There's, you know, room for some, you know, some adjustments and you know, going out there and doing some better things. Do you think they think that Bowden Francis can give him a chance? You know, not go six innings all the time, but give him a chance when he does start.
Yeah, I think, look, from stuff perspective, it was there. And you saw signs of spring training. Okay, he's turning over a lineup. He's able to be a bit more consistent. And if you think about the two outings, the one against Houston, that's the first inning. He kind of gets jumped a little bit there by the Astros, who seem to be hunting his fastball, do some damage. And then he's making an adjustment after his recovering. And then yesterday against the Yankees, it's a nice start, first time through, and then loses the zone a little bit. And, you know, the big one was Cabrera to me in that third inning yesterday. He really keeps that inning alive and makes it a lot harder to navigate at the bottom of the lineup for the top of the order. And then he ends up making a mistake to Giancarlo Stanton. If it's a better pitch to Stanton, if he's missing inside there, then we're probably having a different conversation than the one we are right now. But he ends up missing the middle. Stanton hits the grand slam, and what happened happens. So I think the Blue Jays don't want to overreact to things. And talking about Francis after the game, you know, he was determined to sort of not get too down about the way two outings have gone, trusting in the good things that he was able to do in terms of using his fastball, establishing his curveball. But I think the consistency piece hasn't been there, and so that's something that he's going to be focused on moving forward.
Shai, a couple of questions about the lineup. Do we have any idea when Danny Jansen might be available? And I know Ross Atkins just spoke to the media. What do you think his level of concern is with the lineup?
All right, so let's start with the first one. Danny Jansen did take batting practice on the field today. He's been hitting off the velocity machine. He's on the cusp of starting a rehab assignment. I would think at some point in the next few days he'd probably be out at Triple A Buffalo beginning a rehab assignment. But I think those things are still being finalized and making sure that he's at where he needs to be physically. But there's at least a horizon for Danny Jansen as well, and that'll be a significant boost for the Blue Jays once he is back. In terms of the lineup, it was pretty interesting to hear Ross Atkins say that from a process perspective, they're seeing some things that they believe will soon start translating. And I think the number that I've got focused on early on is sort of the way that they're walking and the discipline that they've showed. I think that's generally a good leaning indicator of an offense that's going to be effective. You know, if you're not walking, then you're probably expanding and chasing and swinging at a lot of pitches that you shouldn't be. But if you're walking, you're showing some discipline, maybe just not getting results from other areas. I think that's where the Blue Jays feel they have some upside still there. And look, it hasn't been a great start to the season at the plate for Kirk. Hasn't been a great start for Varsho. The Blue Jays are going to trust that there is more in those two guys, and I think that'll help them. You know, you saw Bichette break out of an 0-for-13, Guerrero break out of an 0-for-11, and have much better at-bats in the final two games of that Yankee series. Those two guys get going, then obviously they can carry a team for a period of time. So I think there's obviously some concern because they haven't performed the way they need them to perform, but I think right now the Blue Jays are leaning towards trusting that what they believe about their players is still going to show through on the field.
Shai, do you think Clement and Schneider will play more?
Sorry, I didn't catch it. Can you repeat that, Kev?
Yeah, do you think Clement and Schneider will play more?
Well, we're starting to see that a little bit, right? Over the last few days, they've been productive. They've had important swings for this team. I think the balance for the Blue Jays is to, yes, you want to ride the hot hand and who's playing well in the moment, but you also don't want to deviate too far from what your process in general is in terms of who do you trust in different spots, which guys you like in certain matchups, and to not overcorrect there. So I think that's the line they're trying to walk right now. But, you know, I think, again, just look at usage over the past few days. We've seen a bit more Ernie Clement and Davis Schneider, and that's because they've been putting up quality at-bats.
Shai, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much, man. We'll see you down at the park.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Shai Davidi, Sportsnet MLB insider. Interesting point Shai made about the team walking more. And it would suggest, I would think, if you are looking at indicators and process and all that, that is, I would suggest a positive in that they're not expanding. But, Vladdy, for all his issues early in the year, was walking a fair amount. But try to put that, Kevin, in context for me in terms of what a lineup needs to do to be successful.
Yeah, when you're struggling, it's better to go 0 for 3 than it is 0 for 4. Like, that's an easier thing to swallow. When you don't feel good, you're getting or fighting that one walk, then, you know, that'll make it a little easier for you to get out of a slump. I don't want a bunch of these guys in here trying to walk. It's how the at-bats look. Do they look like they're on time? And if they want to swing at a ball that they take, does it look like that ball can be put in play hard? A lot of the times the answer to that is no. So why is that? Is it early in the season? I roll my eyes at that. Like, you got to, you know, the facility that you have in spring training should make it easier for you to be on time quicker. Mm-hmm. These excuses about early in the season and the pitchers ahead, yeah, that's when I played. We didn't have what they have now. And especially the way the underground city looks at the Rogers Center now, that's a city now for these players to go to and figure out how to be on time. So I think there's a fine line again there by this lineup is very individual. I know they're trying to scream that team-wide approach, do damage on what you can do damage on. That's a fine line there, right? It's take what the pitcher will give you. What if that pitcher's not going to give you something to drive? Is this lineup good enough to slow down, be on time, and hit it where it's pitched? Have you ever seen that consistently? That, I think, is what I would love to see them working towards, is more of that approach of, okay, I do want to do damage. Who doesn't? That's how you get paid. Mm-hmm. Get frisky. Party out front. Everybody wants to, you know, jog around the bases, but there's only a handful of people that can do that. Is it that lineup that will go, we have this plan, now I'm going to adapt because this guy ain't going to throw me something down the middle or throw me something in or third. Now I got to battle. Now I got to be on time most of the time that will allow me to be athletic enough to hit the ball in the big part of the field consistently. That's what you would love to see. And I know fans are wanting to see the same exact thing that normally they don't see. So, yeah, this is, you know, it's for me, it's not one guy. I think we should stop throwing it all off on Vladdy. Maybe Vladdy's not capable of doing that. Maybe Vladdy needs help. Maybe Vladdy needed a Teoscar or a Marcus Semien to do things, and then it just filling in the blank. I'm going up having fun, and nobody's paying attention to me, and that's why I'm having success that I'm having because of that reason. Now you're throwing it, and now it looks like he's trying because nobody else is really getting it done other than Turner.
Tell me something, Kevin. When a team comes out of spring training, and I think we admit, I think we saw some things. Well, you were down there. We saw some things in spring training we liked in terms of the lineup. We saw some things. You could watch a game, and you were seeing things that suggested there was some sort of progress being made. Then you go on the road. You're 4-6. And, I mean, I love Don Mattingly's description. You have a wavy offense. It's feast or famine.
Yeah.
And even a game where you score 8 runs, you're still not driving in runs with runners in scoring position. How hard is it to kind of have that reset?
It's very hard.
In season?
It's very hard because you look up at that giant scoreboard that's at the Rogers Center, and it shows your batting average, and there's one guy on your team hitting above 200.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, batting average don't matter until only one person's hitting above 200, and then all of a sudden it matters.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every player, they're human beings. And I said this to you. That's why I was saying 6-4, because it's translating and it's giving you confidence that what you were doing in spring and in the offseason and in the 15 hitting coaches that were coming to your house saying, if you do this, that, and the other, it's going to translate and you will be the best you. I just wonder why now you consistently see a bunch of guys that you weren't seeing do this in spring training, overswinging, trying too hard. Why is that? Oh, why is that? Why the conversation isn't from however many coaches you got, that. Stop swinging so hard. Justin Turner doesn't look that way. Like, it's free and easy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do me. You ain't going to make me not do me. Why do you see Vladdy overswinging? Why do you see Bo overswinging? Why do you see maybe, you know, if Bo's playing, he's not hurt anymore. So we'll look at it that way. Now it's, again, he's got lots of moving parts. I look at Bo differently a lot of the times because of what he's done in the past differently than you do everybody else. That's the thing is, stay within yourself. It's easy to say it. It's another thing to go up and actually do it. And I just wonder why we're not consistently doing that. Be a tough out, right? It's the 0-for-4 in one game that you see from Vladdy, and in that fifth at bat, he might strike out, but it's an 11-pitch at bat against the dude throwing 99. Why can't he give you that bat every time? Oh, You're not ready to hit? Why is that? Those are the things I think if they sort of iron those things out, because they are talented. It's not because of talent. It's just for whatever reason, one at bat to the other, one bad at bat seems like in their first at bat sort of screws up their entire game. I know how that looks and feels, and that's exactly how it looks and feels. And for me, just get past that. Trust what, man, I hate saying that process word. Trust that it will translate. And if you just, that's the one thing I noticed. Everybody that I saw hitting, they were not chasing distance. It was free and easy. Ball was flying off the barrel. Do you see that now in the game? No. You see a bunch of dudes swinging from the hills as hard as they can, like they're throwing rocks in the air in their backyard trying to hit it to the moon. Well, you're not going to do that because now all of a sudden a good pitching coach, a bunch of khakis see that, a good catcher, oh, yeah, now you're going to get the changeup because it looks like a heater. Why do you think they're throwing changeups? Yeah. Don't take a brain surgeon to figure out why they're doing that. Now it's up to the Jays to stay within themselves, be in an athletic position, keep the front side in. Think right center. Think if I'm left-handed, left center. Not saying you're going to hit the ball there, but what that does is keep the barrel fluidly in the zone as long as you want it to stay in the zone, which will give you a better chance to have a positive result, which is what everybody wants to see.
Are you – we asked Shai about Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson. Are you a little surprised that they're not a little further along than they are?
Who, the lineup?
No, Romano or Swanson.
I don't think so.
When we talked to John, the guy asked him what the chances were of... Now, granted, the homestand is going to go on, so it's entirely possible they'd be up here for the homestand.
Yeah.
I kind of thought we might see one of them in this series.
Yeah. I think they see what's going on in baseball, and they want to be careful. And I think they understand what those two guys mean to this team. Yeah. And it's going to probably be a run prevention playoff run again. And it's all hands on deck. And they're going to have to do some closer to elite stuff, pitching side of the ball. And they need those two guys at the back end. And if it takes a week later to get them back, it'll be a week later. And you can't blame them.
Have you learned anything in their absence about other pitchers in that bullpen that we may have been wondering about.
I'm not sure the confidence in Chad Green that everybody wanted to see, at least not me. I mean, I talk to P. Walker a lot, and he's very confident. He thinks the experience, and the more he gets thrown into certain spots, and the routine is constant and consistent, and, you know, he's just doing the same thing. That's why they're, I think, not mixing him around in certain innings
right.
and saying you got the eighth inning or you got the ninth inning. It's sort of those two innings. Won't be the sixth inning like Jimmy Garcia. Won't be the seventh inning like, you know, you're not a Swiss Army knife. You're an eighth and ninth inning guy. So you're mentally prepared and physically prepared to go out and do those things. You know, the two lefties, what are they going to give you? Like, are you more apt to throw out Trevor Richards and a Swanson when they get back? Then abuse the two lefties. You know, what's Cabrera? Do you have confidence in that? Like, it's, I think they got some room to maneuver, but I don't think the reason why they're not going to make the playoffs this year is because of their pitching. I just really don't think that. I think they'll figure out the five spot. I think they'll, you know, Kevin Gausman will be consistent and with his velocity, and Bassett will be whatever Bassett is, and Barrios will take the ball every 5 days, and Yusei Kikuchi, I think he's figured out how to pitch a little bit more than being a thrower, which will help them. So it's just, how do you not score 3.5 runs and get it closer to 5 runs? That's the thing. Do you have enough in the tank to get it closer to 5 runs? Because of where everybody else is at in the American League. The American League's going to have some teams. The Guardians might be a surprise. The Tigers might be a surprise. You know, the Astros, you know, who knows with the injuries that they're getting, like, it may be tough to overcome. Like, there'll be some teams that may step up that you didn't expect. You know, maybe the Twins won't be as good this year. So there's some room there. Maybe the Rays are not going to be the Rays of norm. Like, you got to – you do your part, and maybe it'll work out. But they need to – there's a big giant – I don't know about you, but there's a big giant separation in my mind between their pitching and their offense. How do they get the offense a little closer? I'm not saying – even it out. I don't think that's possible, but get it closer to where three or four days in a row, the offense is going to say, jump on our back, we got you. Like, you know, you have a bad start, we fall down 4-0, it's okay. Vladdy and Turner and Dalton Varsho and Kirk and Clement and Schneider, they'll step up and then somebody will run into a couple. We got you. Can they even that out? Do they have enough talent to even it out? That's the thing, right? Because I do think you can only talk so much. Sooner or later, the talk is going to be over. You can only say it so many times, right? And then it's out. It's my talent against your talent. Do you have enough talent? Some would say offensively you don't. We had Jim Bowden on here. He said basically flat out, they ain't good enough talent-wise. I don't agree with that, but we'll see. Proof's in the pudding.
Jose Berríos gets a start tonight. He was really solid.
Yeah.
Pitching opening day. What are your expectations for him?
I think he's going to be good. You know, again, it's the pitching ahead. It's glove side. He's got glove side, you know, front hip, the two-seamer, back door, the two-seamer. Be good with the slurve. You know, spin on the slurve's huge for him. I mean, it just sort of sets locks in his mechanics. And it's like when it comes out of the glove, the speed's right. You know, he's not rushing it. It's more of a pull out of his glove. He can catch it out front. The release point's the same. He's not tipping pitches, those kind of things. If he's got good spin on the breaking ball or the slurve, whatever you want to call it, I think everything else will take care of itself. Because now he's has pitchability. Like now, if I don't have glove side, I can keep us in the game because now I can go arm side, right? He can go in with the two-seamer. He can elevate the two-seamer. He can, you know, sort of front hip the righty cutter up to get a key out. So there's some things he could do, but glove side's a big deal, and the spin on the slurve is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm going to be particularly interested in, because I think that, you know, we've talked about Jose Berríos. One of his stock and trade is the consistency, the predictability is the word you
score first, too. That would help. He can pound his own a little bit more and not be afraid to, you know, pitch ahead occasionally, not nibble all the time.
So it is here, the Blue Jays home opener. 7:07 will be the first pitch on Sportsnet 590. The Fan at Sportsnet, Luis Castillo against Jose Berríos. Tomorrow, 7:07, first pitch, George Kirby against Chris Bassitt. Wednesday is a 3:07 first pitch, Logan Gilbert against Yusei Kikuchi. We will be on the air following that game.
Winning edition.
Blue Jays talk. A winning edition.
2 out of 3 they're going to take. Blue Jays. They'll take 2 out of 3.
Well, you're getting Castillo and Kirby.
I think it's more about the third time through the rotation. Guys have ironed some things out. The adjustments on the fly be made a little quicker. You ain't going to see so many balls down the middle. Like, they'll make adjustments. I do think the Jays will have better at-bats. They're at home. Some urgency there. Like, sometimes you get backed in the corner, you get picked at. You tend to make them a little quicker. I think the base running might be a little bit better. You know, if you're not fast, a big secondary lead will help you tremendously. All the time. Like,
yeah, you make that point often. That's all, you know, you can.
Well, Vogelbach in the late in the game there. I mean, that cost him a run. Like, you don't get flat footed and not have a secondary lead. There's no excuse for it. Yeah. You've been around long enough, especially when your team offensively ain't real good. The little things matter. And the secondary lead, when you are slower than a turtle, take a secondary lead. Like, that will get you. I know when I played, if that would have happened, the managers that I played for, other than Davey Lopes, I wasn't playing
right.
For a very long time, because those little things matter. When you're not an everyday player, the little things matter. Getting the lead to help your buddy get a hit and get on base,
and that's
how you become a good teammate.
Well, it's
not telling jokes, being funny.
It's going to be especially important if you know, if this is a team that isn't going to score a lot of runs.
It does.
All these little the attention to detail
and experience. Smart fans will start noticing those things, and I'll notice, and I'll say it out loud. And if you didn't notice, you'll know, and you'll go back and look, because I told you. It's just the way it is. So I think they'll clean all these things up, and
I think
they'll be better.
Do you think Toronto's ready for a team that plays that type of baseball offensively, you know?
I'm not sure. Can they play that way?
We'll find out.
Can they get 3 or 4 hits in an inning? Do they have it? Have it in the tank? If I pitch around Bo to get to Vladdy, if I pitch around Turner to get to Schneider or Kirk, think they got it in them?
Well, we'll see beginning tonight. It is the Blue Jays home opener in a little more than an hour. Don't forget, Blair and Barker will be along following the game for Blue Jays Talk.
Winning edition.
Sportsnet Radio Network. I think it'll be a winning
edition.
Yes,
I do too.
Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk after the game and tomorrow.